You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Ironwood. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We ran through the AFC, all 16 teams, the latest news and notes coming out of those teams and how they relate to fantasy football. We did that there to set you up for OTAs and minicamp before we get a little break from all the teams as they wait for training camp to begin in late July, early August. So we do want to set the table for all these teams, what the buzz is on certain players, and we'll focus on the offensive skill guys, of course, because this is Locked On Fantasy Football. So we will get into the NFC teams, and a lot of good information coming out of all 16 teams there. So that will be the focus of today's show. If you missed anything we broke down about the AFC, check it out. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let's dive right in. And we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. They don't have anything going on, do they? Oh, yeah, they do have Kyler Murray being extremely unhappy about his situation here. He's not going to report here to the OTAs, which are not mandatory, but there's the expectation that he'll show up by Coach Cliff Kingsbury to the mandatory minicamp that comes a little bit later. So, interesting Kyler Murray stance here. It's very anti-Lamar Jackson. We talked about him with the Ravens news and notes that Lamar's focused on what's going on in front of him. He's not worried too much about the contract. He knows it'll take care of itself. But with Lamar, he is also confident because he's a former MVP. Well, Kyler Murray is a little bit on edge. Do the Cardinals feel totally committed to him? But I don't think they would have made that move for Marquise Hollywood Brown. Pretty big trade. I think they gave up too much to get him from the Ravens in terms of value with first-round pick to appease Kyler Murray. So they want Kyler Murray there. They've done some things in the offense where you look at the two tight end sets with Zach Ertz and Max Williams, and they add a third one there, Trey McBride. So they're doing things that tailor to Kyler Murray's strengths. They kept James Conner in that strong running game intact, added to that after they lost Chase Edmonds. So really, the Cardinals have done everything to say Kyler Murray is going to be a big part of what they do offensively here. Cliff Kingsbury needs this kind of to settle because they had a good year last year, made the playoffs, but a little bit disappointing in the end there, the way they faded. So the Cardinals, it's a big make or break year for all these people involved, Murray and Kingsbury in this offense. But I think Murray will show up eventually. He's not going to be able to get that big contract if he doesn't play. The trade may happen, but I think there are some teams that want to see a little bit more out of Kyler Murray and take that next step here. He's played very well, but there's some things he could improve in getting the ball downfield, making consistent decisions here, showing the willingness to run and have that aspect be back in his fold of his skill set here. So, Kyler Murray, I think, still has a little bit more to prove here on the field. So, it's interesting. Lamar Jackson, I think, has done more and is not too worried. Well, Kyler Murray has done less, and he's really worried about that contract. So, interesting dynamic between those two quarterbacks. And we know Lamar also earlier in the draft cycle than Kyler Murray. Murray being a number one overall pick, I think changes things a little bit because he's looking to top the market, where Lamar is already playing with house money here because he is the 32 overall pick there for the Ravens. So two different approaches. I think Lamar's is better overall to get the contract of desirable amount and years. All right, let's go from Kyler Murray to the Falcons. The Falcons look like they're locked into Marcus Mariota starting, so Desmond Ridder, the rookie, will have to wait there. But who's Marcus Mariota going to throw to? Well, we know he's going to throw to Kyle Pitts. Drake London, we haven't been able to see the rookie too much. He's battling an ankle injury so far early in the process. They made the trade. We talked about that in our Raiders notes. Bryan Edwards is now a member of the Falcons, so after the Davante Adams trade and looking at Hunter Renfrow and the rest of their options, the Raiders made a move on Bryan Edwards. So he's now in Atlanta as a potential outside receiver. You have Olamide Zaccheaus still as the slot receiver. So those are your three receivers and 11 personnel. There's also talk of Cordarrelle Patterson having more of a role as a traditional wide receiver here, flipping over from running back. Now, running back, they have Damian Williams. They're the bounce-around veteran. We know he's been with the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Bears, so he's a good swing backup to have as a traditional running back. You also have Tyler Allgeier, the rookie from BYU, pretty much straight-up power back here. So will they diversify Patterson's role further, just knowing that they need some help at wide receiver, really, legitimately? I mean, if you have to trade for Bryan Edwards here, you know, some issues are there. Well, it's not just trading for Bryan Edwards. It's going after Geronimo Allison. Remember him? He's around, the former Packer and Lion. Auden Tate, formerly the Bengals, he's hanging around here. Damir Byrd pretty much has been, I think, on every team that we've talked about in the NFC South. He was a member of the Panthers. Kadarrell Hodge was a member of the Browns. So really, the Falcons have one really appealing wide receiver. It's the rookie high first-round pick, Drake London, but everyone else still kind of sorting it out. So really, you can't look at this passing game for a source of much except for Kyle Pitts here going forward. And I think Patterson is still going to be needed as a running back because, again, Damian Williams is a decent backup, but he's not a guy that has any special attributes. Patterson showed he was very comfortable with that hybrid role late in his career. And watch out for Tyler Allgeier behind him in the backfield. All right, the Panthers have a quarterback conundrum going on here between Sam Darnold and Matt Corral. They've used the old line between Scott Fitterer and the coach Matt Rhule. They're going to start the quarterback that gives them the best chance to win games in 2022. It's the oldest cliche in the book. That means we have no idea what's going to happen between Sam Darnold and Matt Corral. You would still figure it's Darnold's job to lose for now, however. Corral still has a lot to prove as a rookie, but that could happen. The other thing that's floating out in Carolina is the fact that not only are there still interest in Baker Mayfield, but Jimmy Garoppolo has come into play as an option for them as well. So interesting. I think the 49ers restructured Garoppolo's contract. It could mean one of two things. It's easier to trade him, or they're trying to accommodate him and they're not totally comfortable with Trey Lance right now and going that direction. So we're not quite sure what's going to happen to Jimmy G, but certainly he's a little bit easier to trade right now with a little bit of cap relief there for the 49ers, so you can't sleep on him. Baker Mayfield and his wife apparently were doing some touring and on the road, so there's some speculation if Mayfield was on the move to either Seattle or Carolina. So a lot of things were happening there with Mayfield, but right now the Panthers haven't stopped kicking the tires on other quarterbacks that aren't Darnold or Corral, which tells me they're not happy about the situation in general and don't want to start Darnold as much as possible, and they'd rather bring Corral as a developmental type, let him sit a year, especially coming off his injury-riddled end of the college season. All right, let's go to Chicago from Carolina, stay in the C's here. So we go alphabetical order from Arizona to Washington. This is our penultimate team that we'll talk about in this segment. We do also have a note on the Cowboys we'll get to here. The Bears, not a lot of buzz here with their passing game other than Darnell Mooney's a clear number one. We'll see what the role for Cole Kmet is at tight end. Byron Pringle and some of the other guys they've filled, Tajay Sharp, these type of players are in the mix here. Well, the biggest thing to take away from all this is David Montgomery is the bread and butter of this new offense here. He's going to be in a big role, featured, pretty run-heavy type scheme here. Khalil Herbert is also going to be involved, but they really like Montgomery as a dual threat here. Can catch passes. We know how valuable he is in that role. So we've been waiting for that Kareem Hunt on-field type comparison to really come to fruition. We've seen it to some degree in Montgomery. He's gotten in better shape. He struggled his rookie year, but kind of put it all together. So David Montgomery could be an easy 20 to 25 touch back here 2022 out of necessity because the Bears don't have a lot of offensive weaponry beyond Mooney and Kmet that they would like to trust with Justin Fields. And remember, Montgomery also gives them a option to play off Fields in the running game if they get Fields to run a little bit more here. So all signs toward David Montgomery having a big rushing and receiving role on the Bears are coming true here. All right, for the Cowboys, they're still waiting on Michael Gallup. The progress has been rather slow from the ACL surgery he's had, so he may not be available for a while to help CeeDee Lamb in the passing game. Dalton Schultz, we know, tight end. So there's an opening here a bit for that deep threat field stretcher. They did sign James Washington, the former Steeler, who had some of those moments there going back to the days with Ben Roethlisberger and his former college teammate Mason Rudolph, but Jalen Tolbert, a third-round pick. I really like this kid. He's turning some heads so far in some practices for the Cowboys there. So Jalen Tolbert could have a pretty big role here as they go 11 personnel. I think it's a question with Jake Ferguson, now tight end, the rookie from Wisconsin. Do they go more 12 than 11 here? Do they go 12 out of necessity as they wait for somebody to step up in Gallup's spot? Something to look for there between Tolbert and Washington. But right now, Tolbert gaining momentum fast. James Washington was probably signed for depth here with some of the things that happened. We're losing Cedric Wilson and Malik Turner and all those players. So when you look at that, it was a big shuffle behind Amari Cooper at wide receiver and Gallup still on the mend here. So Jalen Tolbert maybe has an inside track to have a key role as a number three there. And we'll see how it plays out. But CeeDee Lamb, what's good about him is he's got that inside-outside versatility, so you can put someone else on the outside there with the field stretching Gallup. And someone has that opportunity here to take advantage of early, and it might be Tolbert to get those reps. All right, we still have a good 11 teams to talk about and their latest news and notes here from the NFC and how that pertains to fantasy football. That's what we do. That's why we're called Locked On Fantasy Football. I am also proud to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse is carry? Why do that when you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why should you spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts for chain store or car dealership? Just take this example of a Honda Odyssey fuel pump. You could have paid $353 in chain store, or you could have got the same exact part for $260 only at Rock Auto. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, not just the insiders there, do-it-yourselfers. They're going to take care of you as well. Everything you can need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. I found it very easy to use their website. Just you can explore, find exactly what you want for your make and model year. They'll have the specific part there when you go to Rock Auto. So I had a great experience there, and you will too. And the only way you can get in on Rock Auto is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear Bus box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Find them at rockauto.com. All right, it is time to continue the show here, Locked On Fantasy Football. We're looking at the NFC news and notes. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts, just like the show, Locked On Fantasy Football. Let's dive right into our next team. We're going to go back to the NFC North and talk about the Detroit Lions. Jameson Williams, with the ACL recovery, he was their 12th overall pick, made that deal with the Vikings to move up and really secure that big play, deep threat, outside wide receiver. So Jameson Williams, there's some optimism. He could be ready for September. That would be a game changer because, again, that field stretcher is big. DJ Chark has some of those qualities on the outside, but he's coming off an ankle injury here. Chark, I think, is a better kind of all-around receiver. Williams, just a big play, vertical guy waiting to happen here. So if those two guys are there, it's going to help the underneath stuff to Amon-Ra St. Brown and T.J. Hockenson. So that's a very important element, as well as going to help the running game there, open things up, stretch the field, get people out of the box here. So Williams, pretty important here. Also to try to push Jared Goff to be more aggressive in pushing the ball downfield. All right, we go from the Lions there in Detroit to Green Bay, staying in the division. Christian Watson has looked the part so far. Looks pretty good all around as a potential number one for the Packers on the outside, their second round pick. But don't sleep on another Rodgers here. It's Amari Rodgers. Now, I know they have Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, but Amari Rodgers has a chance for a big role in this passing game. We looked at Romeo Doubs. They got in the draft. They also used a pick on the Kitoure in the later rounds here. But Amari Rodgers, someone maybe a forgotten man, a guy that produced a lot at Clemson here. So, and we'll see how it plays out. I think there's a lot of things yet to be determined here with the Packers' pecking order in their offense, especially wide receiver. On paper, he said Cobb and Lazard would have big roles. Watson may need to come around slowly, but they might have an accelerated youth movement here to get the biggest playmakers on the field with Aaron Rodgers. So let's watch Watson carefully and the other Rodgers there to see if Aaron will trust Amari here quite a bit going into 2022. All right, we go from the Lions and Packers, oh my, to the Rams, your Super Bowl reigning champions here. Matthew Stafford has a bit of an arm issue, so they're going to be careful. We know the Rams in general are careful with their practices under Sean McVay. They don't do a lot of practicing during the week. They're during the season. They also don't force guys into action that have a little bit of issues. So Stafford battling a little bit with the arm, but he should be good to go. Allen Robinson is one of the new weapons Matthew Stafford will be throwing to here. So they move on from Robert Woods, make that deal with the Titans. They needed a veteran to step in there from Odell Beckham Jr. So they go with Allen Robinson. He seemed disinterested with the Bears, but remember going back to 2015 with Blake Bortles, and really for a good chunk of his Bears career, Allen Robinson's a very good red zone receiver. And that's the Rams' plans for him, playing off Cooper Kupp. So Cooper Kupp, we know the attention's going to flood to him. He was a scoring machine last year. So it's going to open things up nicely for Allen Robinson. A very good technical route runner, can get outside well. So is he an upgrade from Robert Woods? He actually might be. Because again, he wanted to go here. It was a surprise signing. But when they moved Woods here, that kind of said, okay, they felt like they've upgraded. Much like they went from Goff to Stafford. I think they think Allen Robinson can do a few things that Woods cannot do playing off Cooper Kupp. So interesting move by the Rams. But Allen Robinson should be firmly on the wide receiver 2 radar, given the potential there for a lot of touchdowns and a very healthy amount of targets opposite Cooper Kupp. All right, let's go to the Vikings, and this one is very exciting. We want that monster season from Dalvin Cook. Now, right now, everyone is going to lean towards Jonathan Taylor, rightfully so, as the number one pick in fantasy. But number two, Dalvin Cook has a strong case to be the only choice here with the volume. I know there's a little bit of concern about his injury, their history. He doesn't always stay healthy, but you got to live with that a little bit. It's also harder to project the backup situation with Alexander Mattison having a little bit more company there. But Dalvin Cook, again, you look at his special ability. He's just a very talented running back. He's been that way even before he got to Florida State. And this Kevin O'Connell offense here is going to take him to another gear. Now, there's a lot of good of the zone blocking concepts here that Dalvin Cook has been good at. He's an explosive runner. We know that. They're also trying to use him out wide, which is something to watch here. So using him more in the passing game would be excellent for his value here in 2022. So a lot of things are lining up nicely for Dalvin Cook. Again, superior offense, a lot of support, downfield stretching. They don't really have a lot beyond Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen at wide receiver. You just look at KJ Osborne. You also look at the potential of some 12 personnel. Irv Smith looks like he's on the mend here pretty quickly at tight end. So again, everything's lining up pretty well for Dalvin Cook. I think they're also pretty strong on the interior line. They're figuring out Garrett Bradbury, moving on from him. But I love what they're doing with Dalvin, giving him a lot of different versatile looks here. And that's going to help his overall production. If he can get into more positions to get touches that have impact and explosive play ability. All right, we talked about Cook and Irv Smith. Also could be a little bit more of a weapon as he comes back. They did move on from Tyler Conklin. So that should say that they're a little bit more confident in Smith being available. So there's those two players, and there's one player we'll talk about with the Saints as we transition back down to the NFC South. The biggest move that we didn't talk about yet on Locked On Fantasy Football, they added Jarvis Landry, and this is a bit confusing. I get why, because there's the local connection. He's a Louisiana dude all the way, playing at LSU. He's down there in the Bayou, so it's a good homecoming for Jarvis Landry. From that perspective, it was a good signing, but this is not the greatest development if you have Chris Olave and Michael Thomas. Because, again, okay, you looked okay with Olave and Thomas being the 1-2 punch here. Then you had Marcus Callaway, decent third option. Then you moved Tre'Quan Smith to fourth. But now Jarvis Landry throws a wrench into all of this, because that means Marcus Callaway and Tre'Quan continue to fade a little bit. You also have Jarvis Landry having some positional and possession redundancy with Michael Thomas, because both of them can play inside the slot. They're very good short to intermediate receivers here. So are they going to dedicate to Michael Thomas to being a big possession receiver outside, with Olave being the field stretcher? Does that mean Marcus Callaway has limited looks here and has to wait for really go 10 personnel and 4 wide receivers to have any impact here? So it's not good news for those extra wide receivers. So the Callaway days might be finished. It's also not aligning with what the Saints may have wanted to do with Jameis Winston, is throw the ball downfield. make big plays there with Olave and Callaway, and they have Michael Thomas kind of being the centering force of that passing game. But they also don't throw too much to the tight end, so they could be shifting away from that without Sean Payton and his influence on the offense. So we'll see how it plays out. But Jarvis Landry is going to be more of a thorn in the side of some of these other players' potential production in the Saints' wide receiver core than actually having good fantasy value himself. I think at best right now he's a wide receiver 3 in a PPR league. All right, let's talk about our last team in the segment. It is the New York Giants. Kadarius Toney, they still have big plans for him. The new offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, he came from the Chiefs. And Brian Daboll is there, so a couple things they're going to factor in. A lot of short to intermediate, trying to turn Kadarius Toney more into Tyreek Hill type with his speed, quickness, his little frame here. But still on the mend a little bit, but they are not closing the door on Kadarius Toney. Their second-year first-round pick having a big role here in year two. Remember, he teased at it. We remember the Cowboys game last year. Just to stay healthy and get his head on straight, I think Daboll and Kafka can help to that end here to help him produce maximum here. And the Chiefs also have an emphasis on throwing to players out of the backfield, so Kafka's influence is going to be felt there with Saquon Barkley. So they need to restore that. That was a big part of why Barkley burst out of the gate there as a rookie. And had a big role for the Giants. So they're trying to maybe restore some of that. And Daniel Jones, the ultimatum is there. Yes, I call it an ultimatum because he's got to do this and execute for him to keep his job under Brian Daboll and Kafka going forward. Be aggressive, get the ball downfield, use your playmaker. So we need something out of Kenny Golladay and Kadarius Toney. Again, their tight end situation was gutted. They can't be a pedestrian team where they're dropping short passes to Sterling Shepard. They need to get some big plays, and that's definitely the emphasis here. Get the little parts of the game set up and then use that to make big plays off of that. And I think Daniel Jones, that's what they're asking for him. Be aggressive, be confident, get the ball downfield. Is he going to turn it to Josh Allen under Daboll doing that? No. Is he going to turn it to Patrick Mahomes under Kafka doing that? No. They just want him competent. And at this point from Daniel Jones, we want him to be an offensive skill distributor to help guys such as Toney and Golladay and Barkley have a little bit better fantasy relevance here in 2022. All right, that looks at now 11 teams in the AFC, 5 more to go, and we'll get to those in our final segment. We're keeping you up to date on the latest news and notes around the conference, all 16 teams here on Locked On Fantasy Football. One thing that I can tell you for sure is that I love brownies, but you know what I love more? Brownie batter. Sometimes I eat the batter just while I'm making the brownies. Imagine if you could lick that brownie spatula clean and get some protein in. You're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one's better than ever. The Brownie Batter Puff. That's right. You heard me. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. Have you tried the Built Puffs yet? I'm not sure what you're waiting for. Puffs are a chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate, and with only 140 calories. Packed with 17 grams protein and carrying only 7 grams sugar, Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. All Built Puffs that you get are covered in 100% real chocolate, whether it's white chocolate or dark chocolate or classic chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and extremely healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they're made with collagen protein, the Built Puffs. With your body, you get something that is absorbed more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The Brownie Batter Puffs will have you completely forgetting that you're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. The only way to get in on Brownie Batter Puffs is to go to Built.com right now. Again, go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. The promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. It's time to close the show here, looking at 5 more teams and the latest coming out of them from the NFC. How to apply that and think about that, store it away for fantasy football as we're developing a case for drafting these guys in the end and what we're going to expect from different offenses around the NFC. Let's go to the Eagles. There are some high expectations for Jalen Hurts. He was a pretty solid QB1 in fantasy last year. We have some high hopes because he's fully healthy, no ankle issues. He can run around here pretty well. He's also got a new weapon in A.J. Brown, playing off Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. So a lot of promise here for Jalen Hurts, and playing off a good running team, decent offensive line that should be a bit healthier. A little bit of transition there about to come. But Jalen Hurts, again, has a pretty high floor still, but his ceiling has definitely been raised with the situation with his healthiness to run a little bit better and having a little extra weapon and really a number one bona fide guy there in A.J. Brown. So we'll watch Jalen Hurts. He's a pretty good value right now still in fantasy football as a middle QB1 here for the game. Excuse me there. We go from Philadelphia all the way to San Francisco, and it is definitely Elijah Mitchell's job to lose in the backfield. He has a hold on it for sure. He's running really well. That's the expectation. So if we thought Trey Sermon or DeMichael Hasty or Jeff Wilson Jr. could have a bigger role here, it's going to start back with Elijah Mitchell getting that first crack at feature duties again. Jimmy Garoppolo, as we mentioned, restructured the contract, may facilitate a trade here to open things up for Trey Lance in this offense. Debo Samuel has kind of relaxed his beef with the 49ers. I think he got his wish or got appeased or knows something is coming here, but he's locked and loaded and not leaving San Francisco, so all those rumors can stop. And then interesting development behind one George Kittle that they added Tyler Kroft and Troy Fumagalli. So trying to maybe get some extra tight end depth there. We'll see what they do. Maybe a little bit more 12 personnel, given that they have Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and Kyle Juszczyk. So maybe trying to diversify a little bit their sets, because very rarely do you see three wide receivers that are effective consistently for the 49ers. We've seen different guys that they've used in those roles, but again, creating some tight end depth and maybe want to create a better contingency situation behind George Kittle there in 2022. All right, let's go from the 49ers to their rival in the NFC West up north in Seattle. Surprise, surprise, Rashad Penny and Chris Carson can't stay healthy. Rashad Penny is now dealing with a hamstring issue. It just lingers on and on for these two guys. Carson, also Chris Carson with a neck injury. What a tough situation for these guys. The durability issues keep lingering. That's why they went out and got Kenneth Walker. And for people wary of Kenneth Walker having a big role for Seattle, I think there's a clear direct path for Kenneth Walker to go off here than Brees Hall. And Brees Hall is in a pretty good situation there with Michael Carter, but I think there's a little bit more of a split. While Kenneth Walker might be needed to carry the load here if Penny and Carson are not available. And we know that has been the issue with both of those backs. They've looked pretty good when they get their opportunity, but availability, durability have been major issues that have carried throughout both of those guys' career. Different ends of the spectrum. First-round pick versus undrafted dude. So it's just tough. When you have the injuries at running back, you're just going to have a curbed career. And that's unfortunate happening with both of these guys, even though they've flashed quite a bit. More so Carson with some solid seasons, while Penny was more just last year as a first-round pick there. So tough to see that, but it's all lining up well for Kenneth Walker. Now, what do we do at quarterback if you're the Seahawks? Well, they are leaning towards Geno Smith. Everyone thinks it's still going to be Drew Locke. With the transition there to Shane Waldron's offense, Locke acquired that Russell Wilson trade. So looks like it's not just the swap of Wilson for Locke, as Locke is a developmental player. Looks like Locke could actually be a direct replacement here for Wilson. So we'll see how that plays out. They're still supposedly in the mix for Baker Mayfield. I think they want to see what they have between Geno Smith and Locke. So Geno had to play a little bit that we saw last year because of Russell Wilson finally missing time here with a injury with his finger-thumb issues last year. So we saw a bit of Geno Smith. It looked okay. It wasn't great. And Drew Locke at least has a big arm that maybe can help a little bit to get the ball downfield to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. They also had another speedster. That kind of tells you that's going to be key. Marquise Goodwin can still run. He's a journeyman guy, track athlete that has had his moments in the NFL. But just a little bit of extra speed behind Metcalf and Lockett and Freddie Swaim and some of the other receivers they have. A D. Eskridge is another one to watch there. But really, I would think it leans towards Drew Locke if they stay status quo over Geno Smith, unless they go out and get Mayfield, and Mayfield would be that guy. I don't expect them to get Jimmy Garoppolo, however, in the division in a deal being made there. The next team is the Buccaneers. We go from Marquise Goodwin to talking about Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin coming off an ACL injury. They're hopeful that his timeline is going to be good here. It was a late-season injury, so they hope he's going to be ready to go by September and be running at full speed here, playing off Mike Evans. Godwin's going to be more critical for now without Rob Gronkowski back in the mix. Now, interesting thing for the Bucs at tight end. O.J. Howard, we know, wasn't re-signed. He went to the Bills to be behind Dawson Knox, and they added a developmental guy in Jalen Weidermeyer there. We talked about that, but Howard is pretty much a blocker. They went out and drafted Cade Otton behind Cameron Brate right now. But Otten has had a little bit of injury, so they're talking about the drafting of Otten, the health of Otten. It doesn't have any impact on what they do with Rob Gronkowski, but I think what will is the progress of Godwin's knee. If Brady needs Gronk, he's going to say, hey, Gronk, I need you. Let's go for one last turn here. And Gronk is probably smart to use this part of the offseason to rest up anyway. He was probably not going to do much there, period. So he didn't really have to rush his decision. And that's the bottom line, is that... And the Bucs are very accommodating with Brady and their general manager, Jason Light, that they'll work in Gronk. If they need Gronk, they have room for him here in this offense. So be patient on that front, but the Otten injury maybe might prompt them a little bit more. Then we go to the backfield. Leonard Fournette, there's some concerns about Fournette and his pass catching. It's been rather productive. I still think he's going to get feature back type touches here. 20 per game is available in the right games when they're having the positive game script. But you look at Rashad White right now. People look at Rashad White cutting into Fournette, but what you're looking at is maybe a mashup of what Ronald Jones used to give them when he was there. Now he's with the Chiefs. And what Brady got through with James White, and what Giovanni Bernard was supposed to do in that White role for the Buccaneers. So a little bit of everything, a swing back up there for Leonard Fournette, the rookie from Arizona State, Rashad White. So something to watch there, but it doesn't look good, period, for Keyshawn Vaughn with all these developments in the Buccaneers' backfield. All right, finally, we'll go to the Commanders here as we wrap up our NFC News and Notes pre-minicamp and OTA edition here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Terry McLaurin is looking for a new contract. The Commanders have every intention of paying Terry McLaurin. He just might skip some time here to rest until he gets that deal done, but there's that indication because, again, they've left some money to sign him. That's the report. And you look at the other aspect is they got Jahan Dotson to be a complimentary big play threat there as a first-round pick to work off Terry McLaurin, to get Terry McLaurin help, and they know it's pretty critical to Carson Wentz and the rebound and all that. So he's our number one receiver. They're going to take care of him. It's just a matter of time. He's been really valuable to them here early as they've searched for help there at the position. But McLaurin is going to be in the mix when it's all said and done. So look for a contract extension anytime, and that is going to be finalized here. Now, we also have a developing situation in the backfield. Antonio Gibson looked like he was set up pretty nicely. Then J.D. McKissic reneged on his deal with the Bills, came back to the Commanders. That cut into Gibson's receiving immediately. And then they used a draft pick, an early unexpected draft pick, on Brian Robinson, the power back, big power back out of Alabama. So we're already hearing those rumors of a committee here. And we had the dreaded Ron Rivera comparison to D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. That is not good for Gibson because that means it's going to be pretty much a split. So it's going to lower him to RB2 status here in 2022. You also have McKissic who can catch passes. So a little bit of concern that Robinson has some red zone and power attributes. McKissic has those receiving skills here that can cut into what Gibson has. So something to watch for sure. You know, some of this is just rhetoric and playing into big-time comparisons and convenient definitions, but overall, I think you can't totally dismiss this here. Just look at the talent of Robinson. He's just a beast. He's a straight-up power runner between the tackles, can get those big yards. So Gibson is a good player, but he's also had some durability issues there as well as McKissic. So maybe having their contingency plan, but also can cut in to what Gibson may do here in 2022. All right, there you have it. There's a breakdown of the latest NFC news and notes before OTAs and minicamp here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Podcast, where national NFL experts and insiders keep fans dialed in with the biggest stories and the latest news from around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. We know that. We've been talking all about football here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Follow Locked On NFL every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us in all those places. Well, we're Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll check you out Wednesday with another edition of the show.